We read God's Word tonight in Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning at verse 32. And we'll read through verse 3 of Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11, verse 32 through Hebrews 12, verse 3. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Thus far we read the Word of God tonight. May God bless the reading of His Word. Call your attention to verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word wherefore that stands at the beginning of the text in verse 1 is a signal that the text is a conclusion of what was said before in chapter 11, the great chapter in the book of Hebrews on the heroes of faith. The point of chapter 11, understand, is not to single out certain Old Testament saints as great examples individually of faith. But as verse 32 makes plain, the writer doesn't have the time to mention all of the saints who lived by faith in the Old Testament. And then in verse 36, he gives up mentioning names, simply saying, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings and so on. And the point is this, Hebrews 11 is to point to the New Testament saints back to all of the Old Testament saints who lived by faith, who therefore ran the race of faith, and who now have finished the race and have obtained the victory of those who run the race of faith faithfully. Hebrews 11 makes that point, but also adds this point. Those Old Testament saints have finished their race. They have run the race of faith and now reside in the glory of heaven, but they have not arrived at the full perfection and glory of heaven. And it's explained in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The full perfection of heaven cannot be attained or achieved until all of God's saints have finished the race of faith and arrived in heaven. And so the wherefore is, there's encouragement for us now in looking back at all of the Old Testament saints who ran the race before us and who are now in heaven. And they're not in heaven in its full perfection yet. We don't have to be afraid that heaven is shut, that the glory of heaven is complete without us. It cannot be complete without us. In the meantime, we must run the race of faith. And we need encouragement as we run the race of faith here in this life. It's a long race. It's a hard race. A race that requires patience and endurance. And the wherefore means this. Because you have the witness, the testimony of all of those saints, millions of them, for whom the race was hard and long too, that they endured and that they have the victory in heaven. Now you run the race. So this is an encouraging word of God for all of the saints who are busy running the race of faith. We all have our own race course. We all have our own hills to climb, our own valleys that we must go through, our own crooked paths that we must traverse. And we need encouragement because of the hardships to run the race. But this is also fitting for the young women who have made confession of faith tonight. This Word of God reminds you, you have not finished the race. Your confession of faith tonight does not mean that you have crossed the finish line and that you can sort of cruise on autopilot as Christians. We do not know, of course, when your race will be finished. But from an earthly point of view, it appears that you're actually nearer the start line than the finish line. So you need this admonition to run the race yet. But second, this word brings you the encouragement that you need to run the race. You will find indeed that the race is hard. There are mountains and hills and valleys, and there are sharp turns and obstacles almost every step of the way. And the text encourages you in two ways. Obviously, first of all, by pointing you to, and all of us, to the end. When you finish the race, having run it faithfully, you will not regret it when you reach the end. But I hope to show you that this Word of God also speaks of the race itself. Hard as that race is, running the race of faith, that's a good and a blessed thing. For, let me say now here briefly, to run the race of faith is, as the Apostle Paul put it in another place, to live for Christ. And that's the beautiful life of a Christian and a confessing Christian. And so we have here tonight encouragement to run the race, and we consider this text under that theme, encourage to run the race. We notice the course of this race in the first place. Secondly, its difficulty. This Word of God brings that out very distinctly. And then thirdly, we consider its destination. The course that is set before us, that's the language of the text. There's a race set before us. That's referring to the course. That course is the life of the believer, the life of faith. When this passage speaks about the course that God has set before us, it's not speaking merely about the pathway of a man or a woman's life. Scripture does tell us that God has set before every single human being, man and woman, their life's pathway. And the language here means that God, when He sets before, He's determined it all. And this is true for everyone. God has determined for everyone the moment of their birth and everything that will happen to them on their pathway of life. He's determined for everyone whether their life will be one of loneliness or companionship. He's determined for everyone the amount of education they will have or not have. He's determined for everyone whether they will marry or not marry. He's determined for everyone what occupation they may have. And for everyone, He's determined, set before, that means, the date of their deaths. But here, the passage is not speaking about a pathway of life for every human being. It's speaking about a very special pathway, if you will, or a very special race course. Not every human being is running on this race course. This is the race course that is the privileged place only of believers who have faith. So this means that to enter this race course, one does not merely have to be born physically, but also spiritually. As we map out this race course that is the race course of faith, and we ask where or when does this race course begin, the answer is at the moment of spiritual birth. Now for some, that may be when they are born physically. For others, it may be later in life. This is the work of Jesus Christ. He sets His people on this race course as the author of faith. This race course of faith is determined by God and by Jesus Christ, and those who run on the race course are determined by God. And no one who does not have this faith can be on this race course or run this race. Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit, delivers His people from their natural unbelief and natural spiritual death by authoring in them, working in them faith. That is, new life through regeneration and then the knowledge of faith by His Spirit. That's the starting line. That's the beginning of this race of faith, the moment of regeneration and the moment we come to conscious faith. Now, the encouragement really comes later on in the sermon, but there is a word of encouragement here too. That you may identify yourself as in this race is a blessing. It means that the Lord Jesus Christ has done something wonderful for you. It means that He has delivered you from the rat race of the world of sin. He's placed you on the race course of faith, which is also the race course of salvation that leads to heaven. Now, once Christ puts His people on this race course by working faith in them, the text indicates He sets before them the rest of the race course. The way is made known. It is complaint. Now again, that's not true of the life's pathway that God has placed before us. Our lives are, at least the future, is mysterious. We don't know. We are not certain of many things in the future. We don't know what mountains we may have to climb, what valleys we may have to go through, what bends or obstacles there may be on the way. But the way of this race is clearly set before us. That's the meaning of the text when it says that race is set before us by God. God tells us the way, the direction that we are to run in His Word. We are told by the Word of God to live out of faith towards God and towards Jesus Christ, to believe in God. This is the way to run the race. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And then also walk in obedience to Him. This is the idea of the race being set before us. The idea is that God has marked out the race course. He said, here are the boundaries. This is where to run. Run this way and don't run that way in the way of sin and disobedience, but run in the way of obedience to the Word of God. And this is how you can tell who is running the race of faith and who is not. There is an antithesis, a difference between those who are unbelieving towards God and who are therefore running in the direction of disobedience and sin. And that's in stark contrast to those who have faith towards God in Jesus Christ and who run in the direction of obedience to God. We know the course. It's been set before us very clearly in the Word of God. And if we don't know the course or say that we don't know what direction God wants us to run in, that only indicates that we are not submitting to His clear revelation in His Word. But that this course is set before us very clearly is also taught us in the passage when it speaks of the cloud of witnesses that we have. The Old Testament saints who witness or testify to us. And one of the things they testify to us is this. Here's the race course. Follow in our footsteps. Follow in our faith towards God and in our obedience to His Word. More concretely, or in our own experience maybe I should say, we know this race course and see it set before us then by the saints with whom we live. It's set before us by believing parents, for example, who have faith towards God and Jesus Christ and who are running the race in obedience to Jesus Christ. That means that you young people, if you want to know what direction you are to run in this race, all you have to do is look at your godly parents. There's the race course before you, the race of faith. This is the course that you are to run, that you are to run your whole life. We ask, what is the beginning of this race course? It's the moment of regeneration. What's the middle portion of it, the race course? It's our life in which we live in faith towards God and in obedience to His Word. And what's the end? When does this race end? When we die. The race that this text speaks of is not a sprint. It is not a short distance race. It is a long distance race that requires patience or endurance. It's a marathon, a 26-mile race. Only it's even longer than that when we consider the reality. 26 miles, that's just the picture. That race is over in a matter of hours. This race of faith begins at the moment of regeneration in faith and goes on to the end of life. That's part of the reason why this course is difficult to run. The text, as I said, very clearly speaks of the fact that this is a difficult race course, this race course of faith. That comes out, first of all, by the very word used and that is translated race. If I were to take the Greek letters of that word and put them into English, the English rendering would be agony. That's literally what this race is. The marathon is agony. It is a race of physical and mental agony for those who participate in the marathon. Why do not many people choose to run marathons? We know the answer. Because of the physical demands and the mental demands that are placed upon the person who will run without quitting, without stopping, for 26 miles. That's a picture of the race of faith. It can seem to take a long, long time. There's no rest. Just as the marathon runner presses on through the whole race, presses on sometimes through pains in the joints, presses on through thirst, presses on through exhaustion. So the Word of God says to the Christian in this race, there's no rest, there's no vacation. This course requires you press on, you keep going through all of the troubles and the hardships, and it may be agony. Secondly, the passage brings out the difficulty of the race course when it mentions the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. The picture is one that we're not likely ever to see. A marathon runner in the midst of the course, adding weight to himself. A marathon runner doesn't do that. A marathon runner does whatever he can do to make sure he sheds weight. He works to make sure that his body weight is low. He works to make sure that the clothing that he wears is the lightest clothing that he can find, and that even his shoes are the lightest shoes he can find. Their agony, their struggle will only be increased if they add weight. The marathon runner may not be so foolish as to add weight to himself as he's running the race, but this text indicates that the people of God sometimes are so foolish as to do that. We're running a race that takes endurance, a race in which we want to shed every encumbrance, get rid of every distraction from the goal that we have in mind, which is the goal of heaven. Yet, the text indicates we so easily give in to sin and add weight to our shoulders as we run this race. Sin does easily beset us. And that indicates that this race is difficult because all along the way, there are the temptations to sin. And it indicates that this is a difficulty to the race because of our nature. We so easily give in to those temptations to sin. This is why we need to hear the admonition of the text, keep running, endure in running. Don't let up. Don't think for a moment you may take a break from this. racing. Because the moment that you let up on your faith, then sin will very easily overtake you. We're very easy prey for sin. We're very easy prey for the world too. When the text speaks of every weight of sin, it's speaking of every obstacle that might hinder us, distract us from the goal, which is the end of the race. And that's certainly referring to sin itself, but it's also referring to all of the things of the world that could distract us, that aren't necessarily sinful in themselves, but these things become sinful because of our attitude towards them and our willingness to let them distract us. Soon, we find ourselves not running the race with our minds and hearts set on heaven, but on the things of this world. The text says, lay these things aside. Lay aside all sin as a weight that will encumber you in your race towards heaven. And if there's anything of this world that might not be sinful in and of itself, but it distracts you from your race of faith towards heaven and faith towards Jesus Christ, lay it aside. Have nothing to do with it. The text indicates that this race is difficult also when it says it requires patience, that is, endurance, literally. This race of faith and obedience towards God is to be run through the pathway of life that can often be very difficult. If the pathway of life takes you up a steep hill, then you, like a marathon runner, must endure and press on in faith towards God and obedience to Him up that hill. If life's pathway takes you through a deep valley of sorrow and pain, then the Word of God is you must press on in faith towards God and obedience to His Word through that valley. You have to endure the race when the pathway of life is filled with trouble and sorrow. This is where not knowing what lies in the future of our lives can make it very difficult to run this race. For some, God says, run this race through poverty. For others, He says, run this race through times of loneliness. Run this race in single life, without a spouse, even though you may want a spouse. Run this race through time of disappointment. Run this race even when you face death. Maybe, you don't know, someday God may say, run this race to you as a widow. And so, running the race, the text makes very plain, can be difficult because the race course is not smooth, it is not easy, it is long and filled with many hills in valleys. But the text also makes plain that this race course is difficult by the examples that it sets before us. And there are two. First of all, those Old Testament saints. I don't have to read that again now. In Hebrews 11, verses 32 and following. All of the afflictions, all of the persecution, all of the temptations. We're told of these things so that we will know running the race is difficult. But then ultimately the text points our attention here in verse 2 to Jesus Christ Himself as an example of one who ran a difficult race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ had to come and run the race and be obedient to the Father, enduring the shame of the cross, enduring the depth of hell itself for our sins. That's not the way that we have to go. We do not have to go that pathway that Jesus went, down to the depths of hell as He did on the cross to pay for sin. And nevertheless, Jesus Christ is here set forth as an example. The race course of the Lord Jesus Christ was difficult, requiring that He suffer, endure the cross. And now this text reminds us of Jesus' words, where He says, "You, for My sake, must take up your cross too." Not meaning at all that His people will have to suffer and pay for sin as He did in hell, but meaning this: as My disciple, you will suffer too. That way is difficult. Why would we ever run on that race course? Well, the text encourages us to run that race by pointing us to the end, but also by pointing us to the joy that we have in running the race. It calls our attention, first of all, to the cloud of witnesses that we have. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Here, perhaps, the picture is not so much of a marathon course through the streets of the city and of the countryside, but here the picture is of a stadium with the track in the midst of the stands. And all around us as we run on that track in this race in the world is this cloud of witnesses cheering us on, encouraging us to run the race. Saints of God in the Old Testament. Does this mean that they can look down upon us from heaven? That they cheer when they see us faithfully confessing our faith and living for God? I don't know. But they do witness to us and cheer us on through the Word of God, where we read of their faith, where we read of their endurance, and where we read of their victory as those who ran by God's grace the race faithfully. To run the race is to be a part of that cloud of witnesses, to be a part of the people of God who live for Jesus Christ. But to run the race means that we also, in this life, look to Jesus Christ by faith. No, we do not see Him with our earthly eyes. But you know, that's part of the point of the writer of Hebrews here. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, substance of things hoped for. By faith, we, as we run this race, take hold of the reality of Jesus Christ as the One who has given us faith, the One who's preserving us in that faith, and who we know is the finisher of that faith, is going to see us through that whole race course. And even though we may be tempted to sin and to stray, grow weary and faint and give up, He will be there. And that's the encouragement for us as we're running the race. Jesus doesn't tell us as we're running the race what hills we may have to climb, what sharp turns we may have to take, what valleys we may have to go through. But when we go through those things, we may see Him by faith and know this: the author and the finisher of our faith is with us every step of the race. But then finally, as the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ assures us, this is the end, heaven, where He is now, according to verse 2, set down at the right hand of the throne of God, and where the Old Testament saints who ran this race faithfully, died in faith, now living God and the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Jesus Christ endured the shame of the cross, having this glory set before Him. What the text is telling us is that the Lord Jesus Christ was told by God and even shown by God, and the gospel accounts give us many examples of when this happened, that hell and the cross were not going to be the end of the journey for Him, but heaven, the right hand of God in glory. And what this verse is teaching you tonight, who run the race, is that God has shown this glory to you too. The end of the race is not going to be here. The end of the race is not going to be when you are suffering, or when you are enduring temptation or persecution. The end of the race is going to be the glory of heaven. So now, as Jesus Christ, seeing that glory, endured the shame of the cross, you run the race. Run the race with patience. Run the race without stopping. Endure to the end. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for faith, so that we may be able to know and understand realities that we cannot see and that make no sense to the thinking of men and women in the world. That though we may not see heaven, we may know it's real, and though that we may not see with our eyes the Lord Jesus Christ, we may know that He is our Savior, and that He is the one who is preserving us. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt strengthen our faith tonight, that we may continue to confess and to run the race obediently to the end. Assure us of that end. Strengthen us until we reach the end. For it's only by Thy grace that we run, through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.